Well, thank you for joining me today after a very busy week last week, the busiest of the year. We go back to praying every day, but we should not forget the celebration of the resurrection. I would like to start with by reading to you Psalm 98. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and this should be a response to the news, to what we have celebrated, particularly the resurrection of our Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, and with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. This should be the response to the victory that God has acquired on behalf of his people. How did he accomplish this? Psalm 98 says, it's through God's arm. When we speak about the holy arm and God's might and power, using the words God's arm, it is very dominant in the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament. We see this when God brought Israel after 70 years of exile from Babylon back to its own country, the Promised Land. And secondly, of course, we see this over, as we have talked it over and over again, as Israel was delivered from slavery in Egypt. It was God's mighty arm. And again, let me read it from verse 2, rather verse 1. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. And we see this in the time when God brought the children of Israel from Babylon, as I said, from Egypt to the Promised Land. And the flexing of God's muscle, as it were, points to the redemptive action of God on behalf of his people. Significantly, the Blessed Virgin Mary summoned this same metaphor to describe God's definite intervention on behalf of his people. She said, "Holy is God's name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. He has shown strength with his mighty arm." That is from Luke chapter 1, verse 49 to 51. When the Bible speaks about God's arm, it is the image of the power of God, particularly to save. As a result, his people sing a new song. We should be singing new songs. We should be rejoicing. Why? Because God has done a marvelous thing beyond our imagination. Remember that Christ died on the cross alone. No one understood what God was doing, but it was all for us. His right hand has accomplished this. His holy arm has brought salvation. If we look at the story of Israel and God, in the Old Testament, Israel always gets in trouble. And what does God do? God intervenes and comes to the rescue. Just in case you and I are not aware, humans get in trouble. And we call to God. And God, in his mercy and beyond our imagination, comes to save us with his holy arm. God's arm shows up and intrudes forcefully in redemptive holiness. The words of the gospel today was before the suffering, death, and the resurrection of our Lord. As the mission of Jesus reaches a climax, Jesus spoke to his disciples on numerous occasions, speaking about his imminent suffering, death, and crucifixion. This garnered two different kinds of reactions from the disciples. But one thing that is significant is that Jesus did not want his disciples to be troubled by his words and what was going to happen to him. And so what did he say in verse 1 from John chapter 14 from the reading today? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. Apparently, Jesus noticed that because of his speaking of the imminent suffering or his imminent suffering in Jerusalem, the disciples were troubled. But that what did he say and what did he tell them? Let not your hearts be troubled. Our Lord was not giving an emotional farewell speech, like a doomed leader whose hopes have been crushed by a tragic turn of events. It is, however, what he was saying was, preparing his disciples. It was a call, loud and clear, to the message of hope, to the point that his resurrection, saying that his resurrection will be the hope of humanity. It is a set of marching orders for his disciples as well as for the church that was about to embark on the greatest adventure of history, that is to become the kingdom of God on earth. It is rooted in Jesus' utter confidence in his ultimate destination, heaven. As the next verse speaks about heavenly mansion, Jesus was promising a mansion. Well, I wish that Jesus was promising to me a multi-million dollar home in a gated community in some affluent neighborhood. However, it was not. It is actually better than the mansion that we all know. It is million times better. Going back to verse 1, let me repeat, let not your heart be troubled. My brothers and sisters, we live in a fear-based world, a world where bad news travels at light speed and good news does not. These are troubled times, but particularly as the world goes through the pandemic, trouble has become very near to us. If not, it's at our footstep. When there's this legitimate fear that comes to many people's hearts for the future of our nation, for the future of the world, for our future, for the future of our families, what and how should Christians carry themselves in troubled times? Some may blame, I'm not speaking about Christians, but people sometimes may even blame God for allowing this pandemic, because this must be God's punishment. Well, the punishment of man went to the cross with Christ. It is not God punishing humanity. But apparently, as we have heard the other day, the trouble is part of the fabric of human existence. Perhaps you, like countless other believers, have found courage being tested by anxieties and fears that are an inevitable part of life in the 21st century. When courage is tested to the limit, God wants us to be reminded that He is not far, but He is near. He is actually with us. Do we have the reason to be courageous? By all means, indeed. After all, the ultimate battle has already been fought and won on the cross at Calvary. What Jesus is saying is we need to strive not to let fear, not to let doubt enter the heart. It is now up to you, and it's now up to me. Let me read to you from Psalm 91, the psalm that we have been reading for more than a year. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. It might be a good idea, though we have recited and prayed Psalm 91 every day, almost every day, for more than 1 year, that we need to go back and let it speak to us, verse by verse. Let us meditate in these troubled times. Let us meditate on God's promise. As the children of Israel doubted and asked, can God really provide food for us in the wilderness? Can God really provide water for us in the wilderness? Can God really take care of us? Can God really save us from our enemies? I'm sure that many questions very similar have come to many people's minds. Can God really protect me from COVID-19? Can God really provide even when I lose my job? Can God really take care of me and my family? Well, let me go back to what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. But what Jesus said on the next part to the next part of the verse is important, which is the antidote to letting our heart be troubled. He said, believe in me and believe in the God who sent me. Believe in me. So in other words, we are in control of our heart, what we allow in our heart. But Jesus said, don't let trouble and fear and doubt enter into your heart. But beyond that, Jesus said, the antidote to fear is faith in him. Yes, fear may try to enter. Fear may knock on our doors. But if we have faith, that means we will be okay. Well, for one thing, don't let it in. Don't open the door. So Jesus is saying the way for us to counteract trouble and fear that may try to enter into our heart is to let faith be strong in our hearts and grow in our hearts. Jesus tells his disciples what not to do, and he tells them what to do. The antidote to hopelessness is have faith in God and have faith also in him. That's the reason why these reflections are very important. I went to my bank 2 weeks ago, and I remember talking to the person who was handling my bank account, and he said, you know, I have a friend, and during the pandemic, he could not go to sleep for many days. He thought that he was going to die. He was going to die. He was only thinking about death. He was going to die. Yes, fear is all around us. But today, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is our antidote to fear. Because fear will kill those who fear, but our faith in God is the antidote to fear.